Well, the South African popularity, as far as assets are concerned, have, well, transformed its trajectory over the last few days. A while back, Piet Viljoen, who manages the Merchant West Value Fund and is one of our favorite market commentators amongst the BizNews community, suggested that the right kind of election outcome could spark a revival in a very waterlogged South African share market. Could this be it? We are catching up with him now to find out whether what we've just seen is sustainable. Well, nice and early. Unfortunately, cold here in the Western Cape today, isn't it, Piet? But not cold on the stock market.
You're quite warming up to some good news for a change.
It's early days. I chatted yesterday with Corky Kooyman, who you know very well. He reckoned that we missed a bullet here. Had the election gone the other way or had different partners been chosen in the government of national unity, we would be off to Zimbabwe. He put an 80% chance of that happening. But it didn't happen that way, and it does look, certainly for the moment, that we can hope. But you're a rational man. Are we hoping too much?
No, I'm. You know, hope is never a good strategy. So I don't think we should be hoping, basing our business strategy on hope. But I think if one stands back and looks rationally at what has happened over the past 2 weeks, I think it's significant. It's more significant than just another election outcome that happens to be positive for the moderate center and not positive for the far left, far right. I think it's much more significant than that. And I think if one looks north of our borders in Africa, there are very few liberation movements that have lost an election and then subsequently willingly given up power or shared power with other parties in a peaceful manner. I don't think that has happened. I can't think of anywhere in Africa. It probably has happened in one or two places, but you know, it's not part of the course of Africa. This is something different, and I think it's something significant.
What would happen though if the government of national unity were to collapse?
Look, the odds of it collapsing are probably quite high. I think you see a lot of noise, sound, and fury coming from the coalition members in the GNU, as it's termed. But I think in the back rooms, lots of compromises are being made. I think Helen Zille spoke to us about on BizNews about the sort of compromises that had been achieved and the negotiations that had gone through. And I think that continues in the back rooms, whereas in the public, sphere, you see lots of sound and fury and arguments. That will be part of the course going forward. If it collapses, I think we've taken a step in the right direction. I think we are moving that direction. And even if it collapses, I think there will be other coalitions formed which will carry on that momentum going forward. It'll be hard to turn this around because this is what the people want and this is what the markets want. And I think this is a good outcome for the country. And I think every rational person probably realizes that.
When you say what the markets want, can you just recap on the way that asset prices have improved in the run-up to and after the election?
Yeah, when I say what the markets want, actually what I'm saying is before the election, there was a significant risk premium on South African assets because of a potential adverse outcome of the ANC time of the EFF for the MK or that sort of thing. I think I spoke about it at the BizNews conference a year or so ago that, you know, if the ANC tied up with the EFF to form a coalition government, all bets were off and you would not want to expose the SA at all. That has not happened, but that had been priced into assets via an elevated risk premium. And you can see it on government bonds, bond yields were at 13%, long-dated bond yields were at 13% before the election. Yesterday, closed around 12%. So there was a 1% risk premium that came in after the election. Now, if you discount the cash flows and you reduce the discount rate by 1%, the present value of those cash flows go up a lot. And that's simply what's happened over the past week is the discount rates or the risk premium has come in as narrowed. Therefore, for the same business, with the same profile of cash flow going forward, the value of the business has gone up. they're not selling more widgets. They're selling the same amount of widgets at the same margin. It's just the present value of those cash flows has increased because the risk premium has declined.
Let me understand this in terms that perhaps most people will be able to relate to. If you are borrowing money from a bank and you've got a good surplus in your account, the bank will give you a lower interest rate. In other words, the bank's more confident that you're going to be repaid. But if you don't have much money in your account and you're always running out, you always have the difficulty come the end of the month, then the bank is going to charge you more. So when the international community looks at South Africa, what has happened from what I understand you told me, or what you said now, is that the international community is saying, okay, South Africa, you're not as high a risk as we thought before the election. We're going to charge you less for the money that we're going to lend you. And indeed, South Africa needs that money because the economy cannot grow. We can't fund our own growth internally. We need outside capital to support us. Is that about accurate?
I think that's a very good summation of exactly what's happened, is that we have become more creditworthy and therefore we are being charged a lower interest rate. And that is a positive outcome. And that's only the start. I mean, that's just a week after elections. Let's see where, you know, what happens going forward, what policies are implemented. You know, the other, I think, positive thing one can say is a coalition government or government of national unity, as one call it, will be a bit of a lame duck government in the sense that, you know, everybody has to agree to do something. And it's hard to, you know, to get common ground to agree on things. And therefore, the government ends up not doing very much at all, which I think is a fantastic outcome for any country. You know, the less government there is, the better. So I think that is a very, very positive unintended consequence.
That's an interesting point, because there's already concerns, and I didn't raise this on the record with Helen Ziller, because we were talking about other issues, but of that antagonism between the DA and the PA. And the PA, Patriotic Alliance, you know Gayton McKenzie, he's been at our conferences. He's a colorful, controversial character. They can't sit around the same fire, it appears. Now they're going to be forced to in the government of national unity, and perhaps the Democratic Alliance will throw all of its toys out the cot and say, well, we're not prepared to have this. But there's just so much at stake to allow those kind of spats to affect this very, very important step that South Africa's taken.
I think so. You know, they say politics is the art of compromise. And I think that, as I said earlier, in the back rooms, I think some sort of compromise will be reached to make both parties look good in the public sphere and maintain their positions in the public sphere. But in the back rooms, they'll come to some sort of, that's how politics works. I'm sure that should be the path forward in terms of PA and the DA. But I think that fractiousness that you've just described between two of the parties in the government national unity, that stands for all the parties. I mean, all of them have some level of antagonism towards other parties, which points to less getting done rather than more getting done. When you talk about, I mean, the ANC got a lot of rules and regulations implemented and laws and bills implemented over the past 30 years, which have been very detrimental to economic growth and to doing business and to living your life easily in this country. And the less rules and regulations and bills and laws that a government passes, that in a few of that, the better. And I think that could be a very positive outcome for in terms of this community.
That's interesting. Again, the headlines are all on the laws that are passed, but the reality, the practical improvement here is just don't score own goals, which appears to have been our speciality.
Yeah, we've done very well at that. We've won every match 3-0, and all 3 have been own goals.
Okay, so when we now talk about those who did not bet on a positive outcome in the election, who've been standing on the sidelines, looking at South Africa as a possible place to go and relook, and this is both local and international investors, is there enough there for them to reassess and, in fact, to start taking a position again on JSE-listed stocks, etc.?
Very much so. I think if you spoke to any investor, be it local or offshore, before the election, everyone who said, hold on, you know, I'll make a decision after the election, there's this big uncertainty ahead of us here. We don't know what's going to happen. Let's just wait and see. Well, I think the waiting is over and the seeing is there. And I think it's time that the time has now come that people will start making that decision, and the outcome has been such that it's easier to make a decision to invest rather than to disinvest.
It was interesting to me that yesterday we had a whole batch of by-elections in which the DA performed better than I've been following the by-elections since the 2021 local elections in November, and there have been more than 220 of them. But the Democratic Alliance shot the lights out. They took seats off the ANC, seats off the PA. It was almost like they were unbeatable, KZN, Gauteng, Western Cape as well. So it's almost like its support base has said, good for you. Now, just work, play nice, work with the government, because we do need the hope for a country as a whole, which for many people had lost hope, Pitt. Many people, I guess, had been looking elsewhere for their future.
Exactly, 100%. So I think one of the dynamics that has happened here with this coalition government or canoe is that it has almost put a stamp of approval on the DA for many, many voters that previously might not have voted for the DA. And I'm speculating now, I don't know, but it's possible. I mean, France Grenier and Gareth van Arsenal would be much better positioned to tell us exactly what's happening there. But I think that there could be a big swing towards the DA from previously disenchanted voters that would rather not vote than vote for someone outside of the ANC. So I think that could be a dynamic happening there, but I'm not sure I'm speaking
to it. The question here as well, yesterday in the conversation with Helen Ziller, she was quite forceful about the fact we as the Democratic Alliance are not giving the ANC a free pass, we're not giving them a blank check. If they don't behave, we will withdraw. But those by-election results might be suggesting, and certainly the mood of the country would be suggesting, that the public don't want the DA to withdraw. They want them to participate and work things out, even if it means having to sit around the table with it, Kate and Mackenzie.
Yeah, as I said earlier, in the public sphere, the politicians will make a lot of noise and a lot of threats, and there'll be a lot of sound and fury. But in the back rooms is where the actual politics happens. As I said, politics is out of compromise, and I think that is the way forward. I think we can expect a lot of noise from all the parties in the new going forward. Let's see what happens. But I think the table's been set for a fairly decent outcome.
You've been a bull on South Africa, not necessarily, well, on South African assets, not necessarily because you were working on a strategy of hope, but because they were so cheap. How cheap are they now after this recent rally?
They remain super cheap. I mean, our banks are on dividend yields of 6, 7, 8%, PEs of 6, 7, 8. Big coin banks generating good returns, and that's in the large caps. If you drill down to the mid and small caps, these stocks are still at giveaway price. I mean, good companies are trading at discounts to liquidation value. A company like Lewis, for instance, which produces the goods year in, year out, manages with great management, is trading below liquidation value. In other words, you can, all the current assets on the balance sheet, you can sell quickly, and that's worth more than the whole company's market value on the JSE. You know, it's just ridiculous. So, and there's many, many companies like that. So I think in the small and mid-cap space, there are still tremendous opportunities out there, despite the small rating we've had over the past couple of years. And if our interest rates, you know, so going forward, we've had the election, we've had a positive outcome from the election. So with that background, risk premium have reduced somewhat. But let's go forward 12 months and see, maybe interest rates come down, maybe the bank cuts the bank rate, the Reserve Bank cuts the bank rate going forward. That's a possibility. That will take a lot of pressure off. Then you have the two-part system coming in, which will put spending power in the hands of consumers. We can argue whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, the way it happens, but it will put spending power in the hands of consumers. So there are a lot of positive developments lying in our future, potential positive developments in our future, and these things are not priced into the stocks right now. What's priced into the stocks right now is South Africa is going down the toilet. That's what's in the price of the stocks. And it looks less and less likely that that is happening. Yeah, you know, remember, markets reward you for unexpected outcomes, not for what's expected. What's expected is that's in the price. And what's expected in South Africa is we are going down the, we're being flushed down the toilet. We're just an international country that's going down the toilet. That's what's in the price. And what's unexpected is the eviction outcome and further positive development. So, and that's where you get rewarded or penalized. You know, stocks that have very high expectations built into them and those expectations don't get realized get penalized. Stocks with very low expectations or very negative expectations built into them and the outcome is even slightly positive get rewarded. And I think that's where we're sitting with South African stocks. They have very low built-in expectations. And those expectations are being exceeded almost on a daily basis now. And I think they're more positive catalysts in our future.
You've often given us those twigs in your bundles. And you say, don't buy one or don't put all your money into one. Buy a number of them. You've mentioned Lewis. It's been a favorite of yours. Have you got any other twigs that we can put into our South Africa turnaround bundle?
Yeah, I think a stock like CMH, for instance. We Buy Cars is in a similar industry, trading at a very high PE after having been sanitized by the investment bankers for public consumption. CMH is a business with management that has been around the block a long time that is trading at a fraction of the multiple of We Buy Cars. And I think it's a fantastic business. So that's one. Investment holding companies, sometimes HCI is trading a big discount in net asset value, and there's hidden value on the balance sheet in terms of their oil interest, lack of interests. So those are a couple of examples. But the biggest bundle of twigs, of course, is the Merchant West Investment Value Fund. I mean, that is the bundle of twigs.
And oil and gas, and we're going to have a lot more of that at the our very first investment-focused conference. I'm so delighted that you are keeping up your record of participating in every single BizNews conference from the first one that we have in the BizNews conference. And you're going to be here with us on the... Boy, did we... We've got some stories to tell from those years. But Pete, it's on the 12th of September. And we also have the Don Ngube. Now, I know you've been around a while. You'll remember Real Africa. You remember Don as being one of the great entrepreneurs of South Africa. He's always preferred a low profile. But he got to a point where he said, he felt that Real Africa had done its bit, distributed billions to thousands and thousands of black shareholders, and hopefully started many businesses in that way. But the point I'm getting to here is he's going to tell us more about gas because he's very invested in gas. He's been doing that for the last 10 years. Is it a game changer, the whole gas story? As a little preview, I'm sure you're going to give us some more of your twigs in at that conference. But just as a preview to the BNIC1, as we're calling it, how about the gas story?
It should be a game changer. I mean, natural gas burns at least 50% cleaner than oil and much cleaner than coal. So if you are environmentally orientated and are agitating for a clean air policy and a green policy, you should be falling off your feet to encourage the development of natural gas extraction in South Africa or off our coast, where they found reserves, because it's just a much better form of energy in terms of the environment than coal or diesel or whatever. So I'm very excited about it. I know that there are people that say zero carbon, that is just not going to happen. In any realistic future, zero carbon will just not happen. But I think if you can use a better source of carbon, a less polluting source of carbon, that is a big step in the right direction. And I hope that is the way we go.
Well, we've had enough on that subject, both here and in London, from James Lorimer, a DA MP who is focused much on it. Let's hope he finds his voice is more clearly heard in the future, because it does appear to be another game changer for this new government that we have. Just to summarize, though, Pitt, overall, you believe that the improvement that we've seen in asset prices in South Africa as a consequence of the election is really just a taster that if things go in the right direction, this could be a sustained run.
Yeah. So all we've seen so far is a reduction in the risk premium. In other words, we haven't seen it. So the interest rate with which cash flows have been discounted has reduced. So the present value of those cash flows has gone up. We haven't seen that cash flows themselves grow. And I think that is the next phase of development where you have positive economic developments as a result of a good political environment and other factors like the two-part systems. So all we've had is risk premium coming in. We haven't had fundamental improvement. That's still to come.
And for those who do not understand markets, what it means is more jobs, more prosperity, and a much happier nation. Piet Viljoen is with Merchant West. He runs the Value Fund, and I'm Alec Hogg from biznews.com.